Today we will be looking at the part two of the qualities of his chosen bride. We've been following the theme, the bride of Christ. And today we will be looking at the part two. You know, one of the things I've learned to do is when I'm studying the scriptures, I either study line by line or I study book by book. What do I mean by line by line? I just, as I'm reading, if anything jumps out at me, I just pause. And I focus my gaze on that word. And somehow I begin to find out what the word means. And as I'm finding and searching, and I just begin to hear God speak to me or give me some instruction, you know, like that. So I take it line by line. But then books also. I remembered when I got saved in 1986. And I went to, you know, a friend's house that, you know, they've been trying to preach to me for years. And I never listened to them. So when I now got saved, I remember going to their house. And I told them, you know what, I'm not born again. I'm saved. And of course, they were happy for me. I said, but I don't know how to study the Bible. And I remembered the counsel this person gave me. And my brother there, Ayobami, do you know who gave me that counsel? Your man, the Adeyemos. The man. We call him Jimmy. Is that what you call him? Okay. Hello, brother Jimmy. Thank you for giving me this counsel. This was 1986. I don't know how many of us were born then. Okay. BC was born then. You were not born in 1986. Are you that young? No, are you serious? Why are you making me feel old? I can't believe it. You were not born in 1986. Sorry. All right, okay, let me behave. Was Doc Uche born then? Okay, he was born. How old were you then? No, don't mention, okay. Unbelievable. Anyway. Oh, wow. So he now told me, he said, start from the book of Matthew. No, sorry, not Matthew. He said, start from the book of John. St. John. So I opened the Bible and I saw St. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I began to read. But I won't lie to you, after I read, after a while, I didn't understand what I was reading anymore. So I just dropped the Bible. So I stopped studying, because I didn't understand. Can you remember that eunuch that, Philip found in a chariot, and he said he was reading the scriptures, but said he doesn't understand. But God, by the Spirit of God, led Philip to stop by that chariot, and he was able to expound the scriptures to him. See, what I'm just saying is that, I don't know if this is a staring to somebody, you study the scriptures, you don't understand, and you get discouraged. Listen, that's why we teach. I realize naturally I've got the gift of teaching. That's why I can talk on a topic for the next 12 weeks. And I will be talking on the same scripture. It's just a gift that God has given me. So I'm just saying that, you know, if anybody's in such category, please don't miss the Bible study we do on Thursdays. It will help you. Don't just let something be stirred up inside you and go back to the scriptures now and start asking questions. Line by line. So the book of John, you know, was where I started. So I just dropped it because I couldn't understand anymore. But then over the years, I came back to it. And glory be to God, been studying since then. Now, I don't know why I said that. I just had to say it. So, the qualities of his chosen bride. We looked at this part one last week. This will be part two. Next week, I will not be, it's not likely I'll be the one ministering here. So, somebody's happy. Please clap. I won't be him. Aha, that was a trap. I set a trap. So you're happy when I'm not here. Just joking. Yeah, just joking. All right. So, no, I'm not joking. I won't be ministering next week. So, so part one was last week. And we were able to cover three things. You see, many are called, Jesus said, but few are chosen. Listen. There are many, this is not a sexist message, by bride, please let's tune our minds and understanding, we're talking about both male and female, so it's not about women. But I may be making a little bit of reference to bride in a natural sense, so that to just draw some lessons, because we can all relate with that. That, you know, when we're talking about a bride, you know, the man and then the woman is the bride. So we looked at last week three things, the three qualities of a chosen bride. You see, not every woman, look at the world we live in, becomes a bride. And also the world we live in, sadly, brides become unbride. I don't know if you get what I mean. Okay. There are people, they marry, they are brides, they get their bridegroom, they marry, and then the marriage fails. So that person is no longer a bride. You understand now the context in which we're speaking. But you see, we have a bridegroom who is not willing to divorce us. That's Jesus. He himself said he hates divorce. And because he hates divorce, he will do everything to keep his bride. You see, Ephesians chapter 5 gives us an idea of what a man, which is a bridegroom, should always do to their wives. So come with me today. One of the scriptures I believe I sent to the media team, Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at Ephesians chapter number 5. And then we will look at the other two qualities. I think there are two more. We shared three last week. I'll do a recap. But then let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. So Ephesians chapter 5, I think it's from verse 23. Okay. Let's start from verse 22. Let's start from verse 22. Now, he first addresses the wives. He says, wives, submit to your own husbands. Please note that word, to your own husband. To your own husband. Let me repeat again for emphasis. Wives, submit to your own husband. Don't submit to another man's husband. You know, there are wives who respect other people's husbands, and they compare their own husbands to another woman's husband. Why can't you be like Cecilia's husband? Cecilia's husband just bought her a Lamborghini, and you are just buying me a Fiat Punto. That's not submission. That's exposure. No. Submit to your own. Don't compare him. Don't compare your spouse to anybody. Anybody. I remember the young woman. You know, this young man, let me use the word, chased and chased and chased her. Wanted to marry her. And rebuffed the guy. Why? Because the guy didn't have money. He looked at the guy, sized him up, No, you are not my class. So anyway, the young man painfully had to stop the chase. So the lady went and married some guy who was, not a chief exec, but a senior, upcoming, high-flying, what do they call them now? There's this slang. Anyway, just get the picture. So she saw a guy who was, in quotes, successful, and married that one. So she married the guy who was successful. And then I think about 2 years down the road, the successful guy lost his job, became jobless. Now, the guy she threw away, that one went from bottom and just started rising and became a very, very successful, you know, young man, entrepreneur and all that. So problem started in the marriage where she married the rich guy. So that was what now got to me. This is many years ago, so please don't use your imagination to think I'm talking about anybody here. I've been pastoring now for over 20-something years, 25 years. So it's one of the churches I used to pastor. So problem now started in that marriage. And she uttered a statement. Honestly, look at this other guy who was coming to me. If I don't, I would have married him. I would have just married that other guy. And that's why this one now, blah, 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 blah. Excuse me. I think it's high time we start re-examining our value system. You know, what we think marriage is, most times, and I'm saying this especially in the time and age we live in now, is not what marriage is. The definition of marriage, the idea of marriage, the why we want to marry. If we ask, you know, I gave an example last week, people different reasons why they want to marry or why they are married. You know, especially, you know, let's look at those who are about to marry. Sorry, if you are married, you are married. You've entered this one, family. Just joking. but I'm not joking. Okay. Please celebrate Pamela. Pamela and Julie. Wonderful. Oh, wow. I remember the counseling sessions we had. Very interesting. It was Julie I knew. I didn't know him. So Julie brought him. And we started talking. So I was sizing the young man up. You know, he didn't know I was just sizing him up. We're talking. Because it's Julie I know. Julie is the one who is my daughter. So it's my, I must protest my interest. So what sort of human being is this guy she's bringing? So we're talking. You didn't know I was watching you. So I told Julie that, has she ever watched you play football? That's one of the tests I give to my daughters. That's what I told, where's Ify? I told her, have you ever seen Samuel play football? Make sure you come and watch him play football. Because that's where a man's true character comes out. That's where the guy who's gentle, opening the door, buying you flower. Come and see the way he's breaking legs on the football field. So, you know, you pass the test, you know. Please celebrate Pamela. Why are you looking back? That's why you're here. And last week, how many goals did you score when we were playing football? 4 or 5. Look at the way he's boasting now. He was just scoring goals last week, and he was playing gently. Remember, we were joking. We said he's playing a married man's football. He wasn't breaking any leg. Was just he wouldn't tackle too much, you know, so that he doesn't have to go and give account at home. And then he just started scoring goals so easy. And then he just called it like, this is what I do for a living, you know. So I asked him, I said, what is Julie giving you to eat at home? She must be giving you something, you know. Anyway, you see, it's just high time we understand what marriage is all about. And stop defining marriage and creating marriage in our own image and our own likeness. There's something, you know, I was just listening and I study a lot of marriages now because that happens to be one of the strongest areas that God began to speak to me when I started growing as a believer. In fact, I was studying the Bible to learn about marriage, and I started knowing so many things about salvation, about Jesus, about consecration, about holiness. Because let me tell you, marriage is a reflection of your relationship with Jesus. You see, the current state of those of us who are married, right? The current state of our marriage now is a reflection of our relationship with Jesus. If you are finding it difficult to forgive your spouse, that's your relationship with Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. You're doing it for the Lord's sake. But now let's go to the husbands. Say, for the husband is the head of the wife. We explained that last week, if you remember the analogy with Joshua. The wife is the neck. Thank you very much, Deaconess Adeze. We are praying into your future. You will be a virtuous woman to your husband. If Jesus tarries, we will be there then. If this is the way I will be walking there. No, I'll be walking like this. I'm still playing football. Right. The body, if you can just understand the concept of the human body and the head and the relationship and how they work together, that's marriage. That is the metaphor that the Bible is giving us here. The husband, he said, is the head of the wife. You marry, the man is like the head, you are like the body. For the head to reach any height or to go down, it's the body that will pull it. It's the body. So if, as a wife, you're always pulling your husband down, and you're wondering why he's not rising, and you're always comparing him to somebody else's own husband, it's a shipwreck. You're digging a grave for your marriage. Just look at the current state of your relationship with your spouse, and I'm talking of husband, wife, wife, husband. It's a reflection of your relationship with God, with Jesus. Now, he says, look at it. The husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. Can you see? That's just the scripture to balance what I've just told you. Your relationship with your spouse is a reflection of your relationship with Jesus. Listen, and he's the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands in everything. This is deep. This is very deep. Your relationship with your spouse is a reflection of your relationship with Jesus. You know, one day I was, have this room, I locked myself up in the house. And, you know, I was enjoying fellowship and, you know, it was like I should just stay there. Woke up very early in the morning and, you know, my wife was still sleeping, the young men in my house, who I'll soon give quick notice. You know, everybody was still sleeping. In fact, that's your quick notice now. Spirit of God was just speaking to me that God is love. I'm so much enjoying the presence of God in my study. God was speaking to me, and I had the Spirit of God speak to me. If you come out of this room and you are angry with your wife and angry with your children, you've not encountered me. That every time I'm in his presence alone, I should love my wife more. The more closer I get to God, the more loving I should be. Not just to my wife, but to my wife. Do you know what it means to love? Do you know what it means that God loves you? Are you perfect? Do you sin? Do you miss some goals once in a while? Every once in a while. So that means you won't score tomorrow. Yet, the Bible says he doesn't impute our sins against us. He doesn't. As I began to understand and have that concept, so at times I will just come out, my wife is now understanding now, you know. I will come out and I'm just all over my wife. I thought you just had, you were just in the, you know, you just spent, go back and spend time with God, leave me alone. So no, this is what God is teaching me. No matter how anointed you are anointed to be angry. Really? No, you should be more loving. You are anointed to be more loving. Where we can overlook faults. You know, do you know some people? It's even color they will be arguing over. No. What's the color of what you're wearing? Yellow. No, it's orange. No, I said it's yellow. No, it's orange. No, it's not. Yeah, you don't even listen to me. I'm your head. I says yellow. Argue over frivolous things that don't count for eternity. At times I'll be arguing with my wife. Somebody said, well, I thought you said you spent time with God. Yes, I spent time with God and I argue. And God corrects me. I'll be arguing with my wife and I'll just hear God, okay, now. What are you going to get out of this now? Okay, you win the argument, right? You win the argument and you lose your wife. You lose, okay, you don't lose your wife. You lose the peace in the house. You know when you were going on holiday with your newly beloved wife? Sorry, that's just me. I can talk to him now, right? Before I couldn't talk to you. You know what I told you? Can you remember? I told you that every time my wife and I go on holiday, what did I tell you we always do? We argue. We fight. Why you look like me like that? Why you looking like me? Why you? Why the last time you went to that place? Did you not fight? Because now we are all alone. There's no church. There's no, you know, we are relaxed. And then now we are now naked to each other. We just start arguing over frivolous things. So I warned him. From experience. You see, that place you are going, don't fight though. Did you fight? You argued small. But I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, he was prepared not to fight by the counsel I gave them. Because what you are prepared for, when it comes, it's easier for you to handle it. Husband, verse 25. Love. Please open your Bible. Like every husband in the house, open their Bible. Don't look at me. I'm not the Bible. Okay, it's on the screen. Husband. Love your. Eh? Who's saying wives? Okay, let's do English. He says wives, but he also says husbands. That's where people catch revelation. I start saying what the Bible never said. So that means husband can have wives. No, husbands. So each husband Love your wife. Not wives. I don't even know what you need two wives for. One, he said one is already enough. That's deep, bro. That is deep. Deep. You have not finished loving one. You think by getting another one, you become unloving. You're a joker. Go and ask Solomon. Go and ask Solomon. That one that God has given you, I will never forget preparing for marriage. This is all God told me. And every time I recount, and I keep recounting, God simply told me, I am bringing your wife into your life to give you the opportunity to show another human being everything I have showed you, to love another human being the way I've loved you, to forgive another human being the way I've forgiven you. So that is why your wife is coming into your life. So, listen, some of us are praying. You are binding the devil. Do you know what the Bible says? If you don't dwell with your wife with understanding, your prayers will be hindered. You already have answer to your prayer. Somebody's not liking this. You don't have to like it. When we're growing up and we have malaria, they gave us Never Queen. Do you like the vacuum? Do you have to like it? But you must swallow it if you want to be healed. Chloroquine, Nivaquin, Camoquin. There was another one, Paraquin. Do you have to like it? No. So don't like what I'm saying. You don't have to. I'm not saying this so that you have. I have likes. 100 likes. 1,000 likes. I'm not on Facebook. Even though we are preaching on Facebook here. You don't have to like it. Your prayer will be. God is saying, I will not answer your prayer. Likewise, the woman. Don't submit to your husband. No, don't. Don't. It's the Lord you are doing all these things to. And it's high time we start understanding what marriage is. Not the marriage we created in our own image and likeness and we're trying to live by. Please, it's always wise to receive counseling. One of the things I just realized these days is that people just want to marry, but they don't want counseling. No. Why? I said, I've been in that boat before. When I met my wife, I believed I knew everything. I didn't want any counseling. I didn't want nobody monitoring my courtship. You know, we don't court. I mean, we don't go out. I don't know the slang today. We don't go out. We don't date. We court. You know what happens in court? You go and present your case and argue your case. It's courtship. My generation was very holy. It's true. The Bible says we're in the last days. Perilous times. Men will give themselves to seducing spirits. All manner of spirits teaching people about marriage. And you think you know it. You know nothing. I didn't want it. I didn't like it. Until I began to have understanding. And today I'm eternally grateful to our pastors back then who started counseling my wife and I. Traveled to Nigeria one time and I told my wife, please, I'm going to look for these pastors because I don't know where they were then. We must go and show appreciation. They were shocked when they saw me. I said, you don't know what you did. We are now happily married today. I owe it to God and to you. The things you taught us. It's very important. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. But listen, it takes humility for you to go and ask another human being to teach you. And especially if that human being is younger than you. It takes humility. Or you feel you are bigger than them. It takes humility. Or you feel you are richer than them. It takes humility. If you are struggling, please ask for help. There are two things the Spirit of God was speaking to me about during the week, about men. You know, you grow up and they tell you, you're a man up. In other words, men, don't cry. And you know the second thing men usually don't do. Please, ladies in the house, please help me. Echo it. Men don't. The first one is men don't cry. Second is. That's the third one. My wife must hear this. Somebody said it. Was it? Men don't. They don't talk. They don't talk. Because you have to man up. And the Holy Spirit was showing me. Jesus did both. Jesus cried. And Jesus talked. And he especially spoke when he was going through depression. The day the Spirit of God showed me, even Jesus was depressed. Where? At the Garden of Gethsemane. He opened up to his buddies who were around him. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful. Sir, you're a medical doctor. If I come to you and say, Doc Ollie, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. What diagnosis will you give me? Exceedingly. He didn't say my soul is sorrow. Exceedingly. That is over and above the normal sorrow. But man, we don't talk. Man up, man. You're man up. Yo. As you are bouncing, your spirit is bouncing. your soul is somersaulting. Please, man, let's talk. Just open up. I started doing that. You know, that's a new, you see, that's the beauty of marriage. That's a new dimension that my wife is now learning about me. I've started talking. Tell my wife how I feel. I never used to do that. We're almost 25 years married, 25 years in March. But I've just started talking. And some of the things I'm saying is shocking. Talking, shocking. But it's helping me. It's helping me. Because, sir, come, bro, come. Listen. Husband is the head. Wife is the body. If the head is down, just go down. Go down. Bend low, bend low, bend low. Did you notice? Okay, stand up. What brought him down? What brought him up? Who's the body? Don't go down again. Look at you. What are you doing down there? What are you doing down there? You are the body. You brought him down. See, that's your responsibility when your husband is down, to lift him up. Not to criticize him. Not to tell him, look at you. Is that what your mates are doing? Well, sit down, mate. No. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm rounding up now. It says, husband, love your wives. Verse 25. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. It is sacrificial, men. If you marry a woman, just know you are making a huge sacrifice. If you are not ready to to make that sacrifice. Please, it is not good for the man to be alone, said the scriptures. But the other, not good, after good is what? It's better. It's better to be alone if you are not ready to give yourself to your spouse. You give your time, you give yourself, you are there for one another. Don't go out there and be criticizing. I don't understand that woman. That woman always embarrasses me. Who's that woman? Your wife, your own wife. I don't know why she can't be like Stephanie. Stephanie is the secretary in the office. Ah, we're in trouble. I don't understand. What don't you understand? You better understand now. It's sacrificial. Sorry, I almost said poor Apostle Schofield, but I won't say poor. Let me remove the word poor. But Apostle Schofield will come to play football at times. He's on the phone. Ah, I have to go home now. She's calling me. Somebody say sacrifice. I tell you, come on, go, boy. Go, come on, you. We should be encouraging. Go. You're about to score the goal. Your phone is ringing. Julie said, come here now. It's tough. It's very tough. It's just that, you know, with wisdom, we should learn to live and dwell together. There are things now that my wife and I, we've both agreed. You know, she's realized now that Monday nights I have to exercise my body. You know, I've presented my case. You know, I have to stay healthy for you. Yo, you know, my lifestyle and all that, you remember the BMI, everything they told me, I have to exercise. And I want to hang out with the big boys. Big boys with beard, you know. I want to hang out with them so that we can have some banter and enjoy each other and fellowship and talk as men. So we set boundaries. We have time where I want to be by myself. You want to be by yourself. We are stuck forever. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to play football for just a few hours. I'm coming back here. Where do you think I'm going? Call me back, man. That's not a license, though. I'm speaking parable to him. The deep is calling to the deep there. Don't go home now. Hey, you came to do here. To do here. She had. She had. All right, let me just summarize now. Look at your job and look at what Christ does for us. He says, just as Christ loved the church, gave himself a sacrificial, that he might sanctify. Do you know what sanctify means? To set apart for a holy use. You don't abuse. You don't marry a woman to abuse her. Sanctify. You don't compare your wife to anybody else. You know what God says? I have loved you with an everlasting love. Everlasting. I will never leave nor forsake you. It's not ashamed of our nakedness. It covers, love covers a multitude of sins. Just have to understand the sacrifice. Love is sacrificial. Now look at the next thing. Cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. I remember when I was getting married, about to, and God was preparing me. I didn't know who I was going to marry, but God started telling me, that's your job. Whoever you marry, you have to love her the way I love you. You have to set her apart. She's holy. She's special. She's sanctified. You have to wash her by the word. And I realize it's my responsibility too to be a man of the word. Of the word. You at least know what the word of God says and use the principles of the word of God to operate your family. Don't go and import some ancient principle or some motivational speaker principle to go and operate your home. It won't work. It's the word of God that lives, abides forever. So I began to study and study and study. This family, we will raise it. So you know my preparation. I told myself, any woman that marries me, she will know she's married a man. Just joking. But I prepared myself that I am going to love my wife. Okay, I round up Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. Let us rejoice and be glad. Give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his wife, the bride, listen, has made herself ready. And then after she made herself ready, what happened? He said to her, she was given a fine linen. And I had a pause moment there. It is not the fine linen that made the bride ready. Because the wife is ready, she was given a fine linen. It is not your wedding gown that makes you a bride. You are not qualified to wear a wedding gown if you are not ready for marriage. The bride made herself ready. Are you ready? Last week, you must be a prudent. I just want to read it in the order. A prudent wife, prudent bride. You must make yourself a help suitable. I remember God asking me, do you want a ready-made wife or a tailor-made wife during my time of preparation before I got married, before I even knew who I was going to marry? See, I can say these things today because I don't want to be telling you what I have not proven or practiced in my own life. I'll be a hypocrite. Do you want a ready-made wife or a tailor-made wife? I say, I want ready-made, because she's ready. And so interesting. I don't know if I've shared this with you before. God now told me that, do you remember the ready-made clothes you used to buy when you were young? I said, yes. At times, you try it on. The ready-made is too long. You have to fold your jeans like this because it's too long. Some ready-made come, the waist, the length is your size, but the waist is big. So you take it to the tailor. By the time they adjust it, it's no longer ready-made. Ah, I said, God, I understand. I don't want ready-made. I want tailor-made. One that suitable. That suits. But do you know who makes herself ready? You. You didn't say God will make her ready. The bride has made herself. So work on yourself. Keep working on yourself. Keep hearing the word. Keep doing the word. Keep living the word. Keep looking at things that your life is not measuring up to the word of God. Because the marriage of the Lamb is coming. Jesus is coming soon, people. Will he meet you ready? A prudent wife. A suitable wife. a virtuous woman. One that your bridegroom will be happy to show off. That this is my wife. Not you. Sorry. Please, let's pray. One, proud. If God looks at your life, is he proud to show you off? If he looks at your character. Are you a reverential wife? One who reveres ahead. Do you revere Jesus? Is the word of God? Is everything he says? Are you submissive? So that everything he says, yes, Lord. First miracle was in a marriage that Jesus performed. That is very instructive. The miracle happened because all the people were submissive to the instruction he gave. Water became wine. You want new wine in your marriage? Change my heart, Lord. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. Just talk to him. Give your heart to him. Stop playing church. You are that church. He wants you clean. He wants you, your bride, your groom wants you without spot, without wrinkle. This is not a word of condemnation, it's a word of healing. Marriage is just an analogy. You are the bride. I am the bride. Am I submissive? Am I suitable? Am I prepared? Father, help us. Help me.